Welcome to the Doghouse. We are running one short today, as Phil had another appointment he needed to attend to tonight.
So the show will be better than normal, in other words.
Maybe. We'll see. I don't make any predictions. I did want to say that antibiotics do work, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, that antibiotics can cure pretty much anything. But we will have that conversation when we talk about MotoGP. But we're not going to talk about MotoGP.
Antibiotics
first.
And Phil in the same sentence. That's kind
no,
of.
No. Antibiotics won't work on Phil. They don't work on Phil. But but they did work in MotoGP. And we'll talk about that when we talk about MotoGP. But first thing, I know that Warren wants to talk about something.
The king of the baggers. There you go.
There you go. There's the first official points round for Moto America. Was King of the Baggers.
And I enjoyed both races. We had two different winners.
Yep.
And
two different manufacturers.
Well, there's only two manufacturers.
there were two different manufacturers.
They split it, but the only thing I didn't care for was you got the top six racers and then everybody else.
Yep.
The people were on the factory teams or the, you know, factory affiliate teams did very well. I mean, They were running into 215. Yeah. That's not that far off what the MotoGP guys are running in the grand schemes of things.
I guess in the grand scheme of things. Yeah.
The 620-pound bikes versus the little tiny super bikes that those guys are running.
Well, those MotoGP bikes are... some of them are they're not even metal, you know, chassis. KTM runs this carbon fiber chassis. So kind of hard to compare that to a tank, right? Going around a track. So there's about 400-pound difference between the two.
Yeah. And then you know, on the straight stretch, the Harleys and the Indias were getting 170 miles an hour, where the MotoGP bikes were doing, you know, 210 to 220
easily.
There's a big difference, but still,
well, those baggers aren't the most aerodynamic
I know out there, but still you're pushing 170 miles an hour and doing two, and Wyman did a 214.8 at the last lap of the second race. So
it's amazing they can stop those things going into the corners. You know, there's just so much, momentum from a 600-pound.
Yeah. Physics is a real, there are laws and physics is one of them.
Yeah. It's that's the thing that always impresses me, how they're able to, at the end of the, the straightaways, they're able to bring those things down into the first turns. Pretty impressive stuff. Yeah. But anyway, but it was like the usual suspects, you know, it was kind of the usual, although probably Bobby Fong would like to forget this weekend. But,
he blew his chance for a podium big time.
Yeah.
Didn't just run off the course. He ran off the course into the neighboring state and then came back.
Yeah, it wasn't a good weekend for Bobby, but it was kind of the usual suspects otherwise, right?
Yeah. Well, Herfoss, you know, it's his first season in Kings of Baggers, and he got a win in the first race. But Wyman did finish.
I just wonder where he came from. I don't even remember seeing his name. Oh, great. So another non-American winning.
Yeah, he's from Australia.
That's just what MotoGP needs to see, is a non-American winning when they're actually paired up with an American series. Wonderful.
Yeah, and he's a three-time Australian Superbike champion.
Okay. So that's where the guys that the retire from the actual Superbike championships end up, like the Bobby Fongs and the...
Seems that way.
Okay, well.
And then Kyle Wyman won the second race. He flipped, you know, race one and race two flipped for those two guys.
Yeah, one and two to two and one.
Yep. But overall, I thought it was good. Now, I did, you know, we had our team favorite here, the Doghouse favorite, Max Flinders. He finished seventh in the first race, but he was actually by himself. He had lost the trailing pack, but he couldn't catch the lead pack. So he was out in the middle of the race. Every now and then, when you go around the right turn, you can see him way in the back, like, you know, way back there, but he was far enough ahead of everybody else. So he actually had a good run on the first race.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's enough of King of the
I just wanted you
baggers.
to
I
get that
get
out of
the
your system
baggers.
so we could move on to something else. All
But
right, I'm glad you did. And so let's
you
start by.
enjoyed watching it. You know you
I
did.
do. I do. I
Yeah.
do. I enjoy watching it. There's no question about it. I think it's very, very interesting racing, you know. But let's talk Moto 2, because I think Moto 2 is actually was what I thought was of the. Well, there's a couple things that I think went on this weekend in MotoGP and the, you know, in the series together that was kind of interesting. First of all, who was Sergio Garcia?
He was the winner of Moto.
Well, I know
That's who
that.
he is.
I know that. Who is he? That's what it says in front
Not
of
a
me.
clue.
Sergio Garcia.
Not a clue.
I love the team name. He's Aiguera's teammate. And I think that's probably why I'd never heard of him. I'm sure his name was mentioned, but you know, you pay any attention. But he's Aiguera. But I love their team name. It's the letter N, the letter T, and then the word helmets. Empty helmets is the name. I think that's a great name for a team, don't you think? But I don't know where it came out of.
I think they just didn't realize what that would translate to in English.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but yeah, he won and just about a half seconds, but Roberts looked like he had a shot all the way into the last lap
Yes, he
and
did.
catching up with him.
I thought Joe was going to pull it out at the very end, but nope.
I don't know.
He didn't clear his head as well as the other empty helmet racers.
I don't know why it is that Joe Roberts doesn't race better every weekend. Why is it that he's always good at COTA? And as you mentioned, he won a rain race, which doesn't mean very much,
Last
right?
year, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know why it is that it's like, okay, it's a home race, so I'm gonna actually try. I don't get that at all. He's a talented guy. It's a decent bike.
Well, we've always talked about that the European racers race a specific way, and
Yeah.
Americans got to go to Europe and figure it out so they can be
He's been
competitive.
there long enough now.
Well, but you come to an American track,
Yeah. You think the American track's
maybe
different?
the tracks are set up just slightly different that favors the American racer over here.
I don't know.
I'm just
I
making
mean,
crap up, so.
I was going to say, I don't think if you look at MotoGP, you would see that, right?
Well, no, because
How
how
many
could you? There are no American racers. There are none.
how many American racers have won at the GP at the premier level? At COTA.
Well, has there ever been an American run into premier level at COTA?
I think so. I think so. Maybe not at the premier level, now that I think about it. It's been a lot of years since
Yeah,
we've
COTA's
had.
not that old of a track.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, that's true. It's only about 8 years old,
Yeah.
COTA now. So, but anyway.
We haven't had American run in the
I don't know.
premier.
All I'm going to say is, Joe, you can win anywhere. You have to have confidence. I think he just thinks he can, because he's got like the backing of the crowd and everything, and he thinks he could perform well there. I don't think there's anything else.
You could hear the crowd. It's very similar to what you heard in MotoGP, but you could hear the crowds when he made
Yeah.
some good passes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And
Now,
not a good.
were they cheering him or were they cheering only fans? I don't know yet.
Well, it was Phil in the stands. And Al Daguerre, he managed to get a podium, which didn't look like most of the race that he was going to end up with.
Nah, I didn't think he was going to make it, but he did.
No, yeah, he ended up getting the podium to, you know, Alonso Lopez lost out in that. But
Yeah,
there were a couple
the
people
guy
in
I picked in the
couple
pool.
who you picked, who? Lopez?
Lopez.
Well, it's better than who I picked in the pool. I picked Manuel Gonzalez, and he had a double long lap penalty, right? Because he jumped the start. So it's like, oh yeah, that's great. Now all I have to do, and I picked him because he was a good few points get, right? But you have to get into the top 10. When he got the double long lap penalty, I said, okay, well, that's not happening now. So he ended up like down in like 13th place. Right behind his teammate, you know, Albert Reyna. So that was a miserable weekend for that team in general.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is with Arbolino. He's basically just
He
taking
disappeared.
it easy this season.
He's disappeared. I don't know where'd he finish.
Oh, he finished at 11th. He finished out of the top 10 with he had, when you finish behind Celestino Vietti, you know it's a bad weekend.
And Canet, both of them, both of those guys who
Yeah,
had
Canet had a bad weekend, and he was the pole sitter. You know, but when you start looking ahead of you, you see things like Alcoba ahead of you, Faggi ahead of you, Ramirez ahead of you. You know, I mean, those are kind of, you know, you're having a bad weekend. Those are guys usually that are well behind you. But I mean, I'm happy that Gonzalez finished in the points, so I'll take my 3 points and, you know, count my blessings at this point. But there you go, Sergio Garcia. I mean, we probably won't see that again, but maybe we will. Still love his team name. Anyway, let's talk MotoGP.
Oh, all right. So,
Yeah, I'm going to be frustrated. And then actually, it's probably a good thing Phil's not here tonight, because he'd probably be screaming about Martin. I think he picked Martin in the pool to win the GP race. Somebody picked Vinales. I think the guy who's leading the pool picked Vinales. Maybe a couple other
but why would anyone pick him?
I don't know. I did say I was going to mention about the benefit of antibiotics, and I'm sure that those probably he probably gets those for free from Paris Hilton. So it apparently finally paid off, and so Maverick Vinales won his first race in what, 5 years, something like that.
It's close to it, yeah.
Yeah. So you know, and they say, well, this guy's won on all three manufacturers. Yeah. Well, he blew up the other two. So I mean, you know, fine. He's on this now. But I will tell you. And I and they say it enough on TV that I shouldn't have to say it, and I guess I don't have to say it. But I'm telling you, I am so impressed with Pedro Acosta. I've never seen anyone other than Marc Marquez who made the transition from Moto 2 to Moto GP as well and as quickly.
Yes, there's no doubt.
And he, I bet
He's
he,
fourth overall in the points
yeah. And
too.
it's like, if you notice that Miller actually had a good first half of the race, unlike his teammate Bender struggled for the. For the whole race, but he had a good one. And then the second half of the race, he had nothing. And I don't know if he just gave up because he saw Acosta there. He knows Acosta's taking his seat next season. Acosta's going to be on the factory. And
Oh, yeah.
the guy who's not doesn't have a contract next year is Miller. He's gone.
He is.
So they gave Binder, you know, a contract extension. They didn't offer that to Miller, so Miller's done. And we know Acosta's going to get that seat. I'll tell you what, as good as he's doing, and nobody I think has been as competitive with the top guys. I mean, Binder has his moments, there's no question about it, but I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to seeing Acosta on the factory bike next season.
It's going to be, yeah. And I think there's a halfway decent chance you're going to see Marquez on a factory team next year.
I don't think you will. I don't think you will. No, I mean, where's he going to go? Whose seat is he going to take?
Well,
Because we already
you
know Bastianini is basically fighting for with Martin for the second for that second factory seat for next season.
Well, you can say that there's four factory seats with Pramac. Pramac.
Well, one of them's already taken, right? Because one of them's already going to Aldeguer, right? One of them's already slated to go to Aldeguer. He's going to Pramac next season, so there's one seat that's gone. So I don't know about that, but I mean, and again, when you get beyond that, then you're going to a tier two satellite team. I
Well,
don't think Marquez will go to another tier two satellite team. That's where he is. He's at a tier two
yeah,
satellite.
he is.
So
He's
there's
doing
no
a 23
stability.
bike. He's doing stuff on the 23 bike that the guys riding it last year didn't do.
It's very, I mean, it what he's doing, I think, is impressive. The problem is that's two wrecks in a row now, right? That's starting to look a little bit familiar. You know,
Yeah.
yeah, he was fast. There was no question about that. He's very, very fast on that bike, but you got to finish, right?
Yeah, well,
It's two races in a row.
he made the decision to go to the soft rear tire just before the start of the race. If he'd kept the medium tire, he probably wouldn't have lost it.
But Vinales, I think, switched to the soft tire too.
No, he kept the medium tire
I
on.
don't think so. I think he switched to the soft on the
Oh,
grid.
I didn't see that. I just saw
I
that.
think he did, because the big advantage was all the people in the front row had the soft tire, and the second row they all had the medium tire, right?
Right.
And I think the right selection, I think, was turned out to be the soft tire if you could make it last. And I know they said there were a couple changes, and I think Acosta had the medium. Acosta had the medium, so he was the only one I think left in the front row that. that had the medium tire left. The other two changed it out,
So I don't
Marquez
know
and
what
Mullins.
Vignale, you know, whatever tires he had others. Maybe he did have antibiotics in his
I'm
system,
telling
so
you, I'm telling you, he
that
had antibiotics because
he came from 11th place.
well, what happened was Acosta's tire, his rear tire, that medium tire, he had chewed it up by the time. That's one of the things that Acosta's got to learn is he is not good at tire preservation. He's no Brad Binder when it comes to that.
Yeah,
Brad
he's going to
Binder
have to.
always got faster in the last five laps of the race. Acosta does not do that, right? He's extremely fast,
But
but
he'll learn that.
he will. But I think right now he doesn't have the knowledge of tire preservation. And the other person that I mean, Martin ran out of tire pretty much. I don't know that Bagnaia ever had any tire in that race.
Sure didn't seem like it. He
No, it
never.
didn't. It didn't. I mean, I picked Bagnaia and it was like, what's going on with you? I mean,
I
he's
did as
way behind
well.
in the points now. He's way behind in the points.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's going to be very difficult for him from here forward.
I think so. I think so. I really do. And when he finishes two places behind Bastianini, his teammate, you gotta think, something ain't right. Something ain't right. He is not taking real well to the 2024 Ducati. Because he seems like he's had problems ever since the beginning of the season. I mean, he's not doing well. But I mean, I'm sure he's still got a handful of wins in him this season. I don't know that
I'm not positive about that.
he's spotting Martin a lot of points.
Yeah, I don't think Vinales will win another race this season. Although he looked really good,
I would agree. I would
I
agree with
think this
that.
track, for whatever reason and whatever setup they had for the Aprilia this past weekend, I don't. Can they replicate that moving forward? I
Well,
don't, you know, they
okay.
haven't showed that they could.
So Vinales, he got a podium the last round too, right? He got a podium and did he win the sprint in the last one? I don't remember. But anyway, he did the triple play, right? He got the pole position, sprint win. So they definitely had the setup right for that track. Although Aleix Espargaró might disagree. But
Yeah.
in
He
any
needs
case,
to, whatever to say,
in
well, he
any
needs a
case,
copy of it.
Maverick Vinales is not a safe bet. He's just not. I'm sorry. I
No.
mean, I can't pick Maverick Vinales because to me, a guy that, ends his career with Yamaha by blowing the engine up and basically being a quitter, I'm sorry, he's gonna always be that to me. So I'm never gonna pick Maverick Vinales. First of all, if I did, I guarantee you he'd wreck if I did
Well,
that.
maybe you need to pick him.
No, I'm not trying to wreck the guy. I'm trying to score points. So I'm doing a good enough job as it is. At least I didn't pick Marquez, and he looked very fast during the week.
Yeah,
And
and several people picked him in for the total.
yeah.
But
And
I think
I'm
the
not
only
gonna.
safe bets right now, the only truly safe bets right now are Costa, Bastianini, and Martin.
Well, I don't know about Bastianini. I'm not sure about Bastianini. I don't know about that. I think. You say if you want to play it safe,
He's two. He's second overall in points.
Bastianini second overall in points, but
Yeah.
Acosta's like right behind him, right?
He's in fourth.
He's in fourth.
Vinales' good weekend got him moved him up to
Up to
third.
third. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's.
Bagnaia's in fifth overall with Bender in sixth.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen much from Bender, so I'm actually surprised at where he is,
Yeah, I was too. But yeah, so I do think that the only safe bets for what we do in our little pool is Martin, Bastianini, and Acosta. Like now he just isn't showing anything, and his fifth overall is proof of that.
No, and I mean, and he finished more than 7 seconds behind Vinales.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. So they and not only that, he was 5 seconds behind his teammate. And I don't know if they were on the same tire, but I kind of think that they were. So I don't know. Something's going on with Bagnaia. He just does not like something about that 2024 bike, and
Yeah,
he's just
he
not
doesn't look comfortable either.
and he's not the kind of guy that's going to ever tell you that. He never complains. I think he accepts his losses too easily, which I think is a limitation for him as a champion, right? I don't think he's going to build the long legacy like the Rossis and Lorenzos and Marquez's. Because I just don't see him having that kind of killer spirit. I mean, yes, I think he wants to win it. He wants to repeat. I don't think there's any question about that. I just, if he doesn't, I don't think it bothers him. Whereas I think, you know, Martin, if he doesn't win the championship this season, I think he'll be devastated by it. I think Bagnaia say, yeah, man, what the hell? I just don't, I just,
There's no doubt. Yeah, he
personality
doesn't.
thing.
He just doesn't seem to.
Never talks crap. He never talks. Bagnaia never talks crap. Doesn't say have anything bad to say about anybody except for Marquez when he causes him to wreck. But I mean, he's just that's just his personality, right? And it's almost like the antithesis of what a champion. You know, most of the champions are probably pretty much pricks all the time, just because it's like they hate everybody else because they're your competitors, right? And they have that kind of like competitive thing, right? You're in the way of me achieving what I want to achieve. They might be friends off the track and everything, but on the track, there's no, you don't have any friends. Bagnaia is kind of, I think he's a nice guy. But anyway, Vinales, I agree with you. I would never predict Vinales is going to win another race this season. I just wouldn't.
I just, you know,
I think
it's
he'll
too
fall over.
much risk.
I expect, my prediction is I expect he'll finish this up with outside the top 10 in the next race, which is a couple
Wouldn't
weeks.
surprise me.
No, I mean that's the way he has tended to race the last 4 or 5 years, right? He follows
Well,
up a good performance
yeah.
with multiples of very mediocre performances. So anyway.
Let's move on to Supercross.
Yeah, let's talk about Supercross. And I think that actually we have a tie in the 450s, but before we talk about the 450s, we should talk about the 250s because Hayden Deegan got a win. And
Yeah, it's been a
unfortunately,
while.
yeah, it's been a while. And unfortunately, his problem is Cameron McAdoo is, I think, his big problem.
Who the rumor mill has it was racing with a broken leg.
Is that right? I
No,
didn't hear that.
I haven't seen anything, the confirmation of that, but
Cameron McAdoo is like, he's the prototypical doghouse racer because, like we always say, this is a guy who doesn't need to win. He did win one race, but he doesn't need to win because if you go look at his at what he's done this season, he's got like 3 seconds and a third. A
those are all big points.
one win. Yeah, one win, 3 seconds and a third. And then I think he might have 1/7. But the point is, he was collecting lots of points, right? Winning is not as important as consistency. And you can't get more consistent than 3 seconds. Out of what, 7 races? Yeah, I think 7 races. That's pretty impressive. So, and he's kind of a guy, he's a little bit sneaky. I mean, we've known he was out there all along, but he didn't do anything to impress us. This season, he definitely did. And I think actually, we'd be talking about Tom Vial a lot more if it wasn't for Cameron McAdoo's season.
Well, McAdoo is first in points with 120.
Right.
Vial's second with 116, and Deegan is, third at 107. So
And
he's a good ways back.
he's running the races too. That's the other thing. I think in the I think they have three more, and that's it, right? And
And
his problem is you can expect that McAdoo is going to definitely be on the podium, at least 2 out of 3 of those races, if
you would
not all
think
three of
so,
them,
based on what he's
right?
been doing. And
Yep.
Pierce Brown is only 2 points behind Deegan.
Yeah, he's sort of a
He's
surprise
had
guy too.
a good season.
He has, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I know Hayden Deegan. I know they chose to race him in the east rather than the west. I think that was a good thing because if you look at they have one more race in the west than they've had in the east so far. And Levi Kitchen's got like 156 points, 154, 156, something like that points.
Who would have thought that?
Which is incredible when you think about the fact they're only one more race than they've had in the east and they're ahead of the east by almost 50 points. The leader. That's
It's hard
so
to
I mean,
believe.
yeah, and there's a lot of guys that are in fact, I think the top four in the West have more points than the winner than the leader in the East. So that just basically means those top four are they're taking all the points in the West.
Yeah, there's no there. Well, you get past the top four, there isn't really anyone else.
Not of note. Not definitely of note. I mean, and I think that probably you have probably a more on par class in the 250 East. But that also means that there's a lot of people that can collect points when you screw up. So, you know, that's been Hayden Deegan's problem. But I mean, it's a young kid problem. He'll grow out of it. he would still be my favorite going in the next season when he, gets the more experience. But in any
Yeah,
case,
what is he? He's still what? He's just turned 18, I
did
think.
he even turn 18?
Maybe,
I thought he
maybe
was like,
not.
yeah, I think he's so young. And then in the 450s, we got a tie. They're tied on points. Cooper Webb and Jet Lawrence are tied on points. So
Tied at points, but
they're tied at points. And Chase Sexton is still in the in he's still in the hunt.
oh
But
yeah,
I think when you get
he
beyond that, when you get beyond
no,
Sexton,
there's nothing, everyone
no.
else is too far back.
Tomac, Rocks, and any of the rest of those guys are pretty much they're done. They're done. They have after this coming race, this coming weekend, they have three left too. And that's it. So the
But when you
problem
look at
is you might you I think Sexton's got to hope that Webb wrecks Lawrence.
and takes them
That's
both
his
out.
best chance, right?
Yeah.
Take them both out. That's his best chance.
But between what we've been seeing with Lawrence and Webb the last two races, Webb looks like he wants to win. And Jet Lawrence looks like he ex is expecting to win.
Yeah,
And I think that
I
may
would
be
agree.
what
I would agree with
makes the
that.
difference.
I would agree with that. Lauren, I think Jet Lawrence has basically been listening to the announcers on the show too much and thinks he's way better than everybody else. I think this is my personal opinion. I don't have to back it up, but I think that Tomac only came back because he wanted to prove he could beat Jet Lawrence because everybody was telling him that Jet Lawrence was the next coming.
Yeah.
And I think he
And
wanted to come back and prove that no, you're no Eli Tomac. And the problem is he's not doing that. He's not proving that, right? Jet Lawrence is helping him every way he can,
yeah. Tomac's
but it's still
fourth in
not.
the point in points, but he
He's
is
way
what?
back.
He's got 231 points, where Cooper and Jet both have 261. So he's
Yeah.
more than a full race
He's
behind.
more than a full race behind. And the problem is that you can do everything you can do. And the problem is if the other guys in there are still getting on the podiums, you're not going to catch them.
Yeah. Eli
He would have to
had to
Eli
win
would have
out.
to close out. Yeah, he would have to win out to have a shot at it, I think. And then maybe hope for
A little bit of
either
help.
Cooper or Jet, having some problems, I think. So, and I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I mean, if look where we are in the points right now, I hate to say this, but if I was Cooper, I would only be paying attention to Jet Lawrence and nobody else.
Well,
I wouldn't
Coop.
worry about Sexton. Sexton's what, 15 points behind? I would
Yeah.
worry about the guy you're
Oh, yeah,
tied.
he has to, and there's no doubt
I think
about it.
that, and the problem with Jet is he's one of those guys where at any time he could win or drop the bike.
Well,
Right?
that plus, we've been saying this all season long. If you don't get a decent start, you get buried in the pack and
Oh, it's
got to come
every
through.
that whole shot is incredibly
Yeah.
important,
And
if
I think
not the most important thing.
And right now, the starts have been going to Cooper Webb the
Yeah.
last couple of races.
Yeah.
But Sexton has, done pretty well. So,
Sexton's done pretty well, and both Webb and Sexton don't very often make self-inflicted mistakes, and Jet
no,
Lawrence is
Sexton
still
makes
at the
them all the time.
point.
No, Sexton makes them all the time.
I don't think he does so much anymore.
He's been dropping the bike. But he is so fast, he recovers from them.
I think Sexton's a little bit more reliable than Jet is when it comes to that. Jet gets himself tangled up in stuff. He gets his emotions get in his way.
Yeah, unless
He
he's
makes
the
a
guy,
lot of
unless he gets the old shot.
mistakes, right? I think sometimes Sexton does, but I don't think it's very frequent, not like it used to be. And you're right, he is fast. Cooper Webb is. Cooper Webb has to, I think, at his age, has to be careful. And I think he is, but he still manages the speed. So I don't know. If I had to pick, I'd stick with what I'd said before. I think that Jet Lawrence still has to be your favorite, but he can screw it up.
I call it even at this point.
Well, it
It's gonna
is. It's tied. It's about as even as you can get.
it's gonna go to who gets the better starts on the rest of the way out. I think what we've been saying all season long is gonna hold true up until the last race. If you have a bad start, you're not gonna
If
win.
you get a bad start, yeah. I mean, I don't think you have to get the whole shot, but if you get a bad start, you're already at a big disadvantage. You're already at a big disadvantage. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens. But anyway, They're going to close the season. I mean, this they're all done early May, and here we are, right? We're already, I
Yeah,
think May 11th is like there.
three races
Well, they
left.
have one more. No, there's four. They have four
Four?
left in the 450s. They have this weekend and then three more after that.
Oh, okay,
Because
so
they race
that's
every week, right?
yep.
So we're basically a month out from the end of the season, a little short of a month out from the end of the season. But yeah. So mean, there's still 100 points available out there. It's just that the way the spread is amongst the top guys, there's not, if you don't win, right, they're going to just share the
Yeah.
points, right? They're just going to split that amongst the top three guys,
More than likely.
which is what I expect to happen, which could make the Cooper Webb Jet Lawrence showdown in the final round could be very
That
interesting.
would be great TV.
Right? And I think there's a real good chance that it'll come out that way, where there'll be the where. I don't know, they'll be tied going into the last round, but they'll be close enough, I anticipate, that it'll come down to that final round.
Well, the next race is the 250s. Is going to be East West Showdown, and it's going to be in Nashville. And then, of course, the 450s, be racing at the same time. But so it's Nashville next week.
This weekend, and they race every week through the end of the season.
And I think Ken should take Phil and I to Nashville to watch the race. All expense paid.
Think
In
what
his fancy
you
Tesla.
had me right up to that point. Right up to that point. You had to go a step too far. You see what greed will get you?
Oh, snap.
You could have
Okay.
got free transportation. Hey, man. Anyway, well, I don't have my Supercross credentials, so
Well, it's too late. We should have done that earlier in the year.
I think it's too late. Yeah, it's too late for Nashville for sure. Yeah, we should have done that. Oh well. Because we could have definitely gone to Foxborough. So we
And
missed out on
Philadelphia
that.
is the following week.
Yeah, but nobody actually leaves Philadelphia, as well as they arrived. It doesn't work that way. Right. Bad things happen in Philadelphia. All right. Well,
We reached the end of our show.
I think we have reached the end of the show. Next weekend, we have World Superbike coming up. They're actually coming back. I know most people don't know what that is.
Well,
It used
yeah.
to be this series that ran all the time, but now they don't. So
And Moto America is having their season opener as well.
is that this coming weekend?
Yes, we're at
Oh.
Moto America and World Superbike to talk about next week, along with
And
Super Motocross.
no, not Super Motocross, just Supercross. Don't
Hey,
muddy the waters.
you look at the banner and what they call it on the air. They say Super Motocross, and they show Super Motocross live. So you.
Just slap them, okay? Wait a minute, we're talking about the announcers say that on the air.
Yeah.
We talking about Lee Diffie. Does anybody care what Lee Diffie has to say? Anyway, all right. Well, we'll be back next week, and we'll have a lot of racing to talk about.